Welcome to News from the Breach, a Dragon Prince podcast. We are your hosts,
Yana
and Kaylee. Hi.
Hi.
Today we want to talk about Book 4 Earth, Chapter 7, Beneath the Surface, and Chapter 8, Rex Igneous. Yeah, I have a synopsis this time, but I also have some kind of extras. So what I'm going to do this time is I'm just going to say, from the last episode in the credits, there was this rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
There were these two rock guardians there with this rock face, and I was racking my brains, and I was like, it's something with a rock fact. So while I was editing, I realized what it was, and it's over the garden wall. Have you seen that?
Yeah. You recommended it to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Over the Garden Wall, if you've not seen it, you definitely should. It's a very good short series, also animated. And there's a little kid, Greg, who wears an upside down teapot on his head. and he finds this rock anyway during the series, and he always kind of holds it up and says, "That's a rock fact." And that's from what it's from, and it's so obscure. And I was so happy that I thought of it, because then I looked up online a picture of the rock from Over the Garden Wall, and it is like the face and everything is like one to one. So hooray.
Wow, what, that's really hard to catch.
Yeah.
And that's an Easter egg.
An Easter egg. Okay. And I was really proud of myself because that wasn't in the wiki either.
Yeah.
That was like, that's a News from the Breach, fresh off the press fact for you guys. A rock,
fresh off the boat.
A rock breach fact.
Nice. That's really cool.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to start with, just to update on the last episode.
Yeah. Because I was also wondering, what is this face on the rock doing? And thanks for clearing that up.
You're welcome. Nice. Okay, so now I can start with the synopsis, which is very short. I just, I basically took it from the wiki and just I changed it a little bit, but not very much. So here we go. Chapter 7, Beneath the Surface. As Nathan guides the heroes through the treacherous path of despair, a pack of earthen creatures expresses their distaste for light. Unaware of Viren's revival, Soren tries to convince Claudia to change her ways. As Claudia does not return back to the camp, Terry worries about his girlfriend and opens up to Viren about his past. And Chapter 8, Rex Igneous. Team Zim arrives at the lair of Rex Igneous and presents themselves before the mighty Archdragon of Earth, who awaits gifts from them. Janai begins to doubt her role as a queen and what future her duty might bring for her and Amaya. Prince Karim plans to dethrone his sister through the help of the Six Horns.
Oh dear.
Okay. Yeah, Chapter 7, Beneath the Surface.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess we'll start with Team Zim.
Yeah.
So, Nathan leads them through the zones of peril, as he likes to call them. And I noticed Bates riding on Zim's back the whole time. It was really cute.
The whole time?
Like, a lot of the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or at least at the beginning.
Yeah. And Stella's just running around.
Yeah.
Yeah, chittering.
Yeah. Stella's really busy. Cute. A busy creature.
And still not, in the subtitles, there's still no mention of Stella. It's just the chitter monkey.
Chitter monkey, but not...
What is it?
Cuddle monkey.
Cuddle monkey. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Or chittering cuddle monkey or something.
Yeah.
But not Stella.
Where's Stella's name, people?
Yeah.
She's a being.
Yeah.
She
has a name.
Okay, and Nathan's telling them, okay, you have to give the Dragon King... Dragon King. He's not the Dragon King, is he?
The Archdragon.
The Archdragon. Yeah.
One of the Archdragons.
That you have to give him your gift of sacrifice and hope for the best.
And everyone is like, what?
Swiftly move on. Yeah. And then they arrive in the Crystal Labyrinth.
Yeah. And it looks like, you know, this from a... Not circus, but how do you call it? Like when there are a lot of festivities, like you can throw stones at something or a carnival.
A fun fair.
Yeah, fun
yeah.
fair.
Yeah.
And there's usually a mirror labyrinth, you know? A mirror
True.
Maze.
Yeah.
Yeah. It yeah. looks like this.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. Lots of reflected yeah. light. It's yeah. very pretty. It is really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the magic gems, they're not just pretty, they're also primal
yeah.
stones,
yeah.
basically.
And there's a chance to starve to death. And then I was wondering, there's a dead person right at the entrance.
Yeah.
You know, there's the entrance. And then the 2 meters apart, there's a dead person. What?
2 meters apart.
Freudian
slip.
Yeah.
Just imagine measuring things by farts. Ah, hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. They like, were obviously what? Very confused. Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a short Raylan moment.
There was.
Yeah. They touched each other. Because, yeah, the dead person at the entrance.
Mm-hmm. I was a bit shocked that Callum didn't really react to the dead person. Rayla was more shocked about the dead person than Callum, even though she's been trained to be an assassin.
Yeah.
And she tells Callum about it, and he just kind of looks at it, and the way he's animated, he's completely expressionless,
yeah.
and just like, yeah, Sarin's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cold-hearted Callum.
True.
So the stones, I just wanted to go back to that. There's... Yeah. They talk about the quasar diamonds, of mm-hmm. which there's only 3 rumored to exist in the entire world.
For star magic?
For star magic, yeah. So star magic doesn't really have these crystals like the other primal sources do, apart from these 3 which exist somewhere. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the red ones are called fire rubies with the sun primal source. Aquamarines for the ocean. Stoneheart emeralds for earth. And sky sapphires for, guess what? Sky. And we already know about moon opals
because yeah.
we've seen them before. Oh. So I didn't count it through. Is that all of them? I think it is.
Yeah, 5 out of 6. And then we have the quasar diamonds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the moon ones are the prettiest. And Callum thinks so too. But the stones, the crystals.
I wrote down like, moon ones are the prettiest. Yeah, I think so too. Too. And then Rayla blushes. And then, the opals. Rayla, sad face.
Sad face, Rayla. Oh. Poor Rayla. But we know that Callum finds Rayla pretty anyway.
Yeah, totally. And there's also, Callum first wanted to touch the red crystals and then moves on to the moon ones,
mm-hmm.
the moon opals. So,
It was indecisive, deciding
yeah.
what would be the most
yeah.
important element.
Yeah.
I guess he knows moon stuff more than fire stuff at this point, so it makes more sense.
Yeah, but why the red one first, you know?
Mm. I mean, he wears this red scarf all the time. Maybe he was just like, this is going to match my outfit.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So then Nathan tells them about the tuning crystals. Did I forget something?
Yes.
Okay.
Stella creates a portal out of nothing and sends a moon opal through it. Where the fuck does it lead to? What's going on there?
Is it like...
How can she create a portal?
Yeah.
What?
I thought it's maybe like Hermione's bag, that Stella's just saving it for later.
Did we talk about this?
We've talked about Hermione's bag a few times as a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Because Bae then totally looks baffled or jealous or whatever. You know, like... What the
it's just
fuck?
Like, what just happened? And it was animated very cleverly because you just see Stella doing it and then Stella moves away and Bae is just there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very funny.
But I think this will be interesting in later episodes.
It's got to be for a reason.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
The portals and the actual moon opal.
Yeah.
And also when Callum picks up the moon opal, you know that there's going to be a spell with the moon opal.
Yeah, we see this in...
And then you see it.
In the later, in the next chapter.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. It's like, okay, it has a reason. It's not just random.
Yeah.
So then we learn about the tuning crystals, which you can tap. And we get a very good explanation from Nathan, When you tap it, the crystal creates a resonating tone frequency that causes a harmonic photo emission that, well, you'll see. And I found it very Star Trek, like the way that he explains how it works, like in this like scientific language and stuff. But it makes sense. Harmonic photo emission. So like light and sound. Yeah. And that's what happens.
Yeah. For me, it was just a tuning fork. Or
yeah,
diapason or something. I don't know. It's a music expression.
Yeah.
And harmonic photo emission, maybe just, you know, scientific speaking, light waves instead of sound waves or something. Or they combined into...
into one thing.
Into one thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
really interesting.
Really cool.
Yeah,
Nathan knows his stuff, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, come on. He was also there at least... one time.
Nathan.
Yeah. Went to all the three layers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds
of power.
Or like learned about it from being a tiny child because they live right next to the Umbertor.
Yeah, but he was there because he knew everything.
That's true. Yeah.
Also the last one and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. And seems to have already met the dragon Rex Igneous before or something and done this before with other gifts.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's been a long time since he's received any visitors, so I don't... And Nathan's not that old.
Maybe he was there one time with his father?
Maybe.
The other hunters?
Maybe they still, gave Rex Igneous gifts.
Okay, sorry, I disturbed you.
It's fine, I just was going to say, who wants to tap it? Bait wants to tap it.
Of course.
Shiny eyes, very, very excited. Very.
But then everybody tapped it.
Everybody tapped it.
Yeah. That was a fun experience for them.
Yeah, it was a nice sequence as well. Everybody getting their turn. Callum got to touch it twice. So.
With the staff
and with his hand.
True.
And it was nice that Rayla kind of held, like, was reaching up and how Stella climbed up to tap it as well. That was a nice moment.
Yeah, then we go to the second zone, the hide and seek with deadly monsters.
The bridge through the darkness.
Exactly. And the creatures, they look like anglerfish. Come on.
You like, know? With the thing at the front, yes.
Yeah.
And the teeth as well, you're right. Because the anglerfish have these teeth that also just stick out.
I looked it up on Wikipedia and it looks like this.
Yeah.
Of course, not with, hands and feet and stuff.
Yeah.
But the front, definitely an anglerfish.
Yeah. Like a quadruped version of an anglerfish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really good. It's very scary. Also made me think of the, what's it called? The Demogorgon from Stranger Things.
Okay.
Oh, I can't remember what it's called. Exactly. But yeah, scary looking things.
Yeah. And Bait also turns green.
Yeah. And it's not clear if they hate the light or if they eat the light. Yeah, and they get spotted by a creature because Callum drops his opal, and then as he finds it and puts it back in his rucksack, the cube lights up on the moon side, and that creates the light that attracts them. And then the one angler creature that goes and catches Bait, scare Bait so much that he flashes, and then it's all over.
It's all gone. Yeah, then Callum helps with a spell. I think it's... What is it?
Fulminous.
And then Simhel helps with sapping everyone and falling down. So this is a Lord of the Rings scenes. Gandalf and Balrog falling down.
Yeah, and thinking they're gone.
Yeah, exactly.
But it lasts a lot longer in Lord of the Rings.
Sure. But it's also nice, you know, everyone is looking down sadly, but not so sadly. So...
they're not sure yet.
Yeah. It's a little bit less sad than I expected.
Yeah.
You know, they just lost Sim, apparently. And then everyone is standing there, and then there's
the paw.
The paw on Aston's shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was just dawning on them the possibility that he could be gone.
Yeah.
And then, that Sim's already back. But we've had a moment like that before with Sim where we thought that, there was a similar moment in another episode. It felt very familiar. Anyway.
And Sim also tried to use his special ability, the third eye Raven thing.
To see what Sim was seeing.
Yeah.
And Sim was just looking in the darkness.
Yeah, nothing. <see anything>. Completely blind.
Oh.
And then we have the lava land.
And then lava land.
The floor is lava.
The floor is lava. And they have to wait a few hours. And then the tide will kind of go out. We meet the little fire crabs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We see one in the beginning and then three later on, I think, and who just leap in and out of the lava, sure.
Yeah.
But they're very cute. I think they're purple underneath with red crystals on top. And
ooh, these are the things from Stardew Valley, you know, in the mines.
In the mines.
Yeah. There's also like these crabs with emeralds on them.
Similar ones, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And first I thought it was Stella with an opal.
Yeah.
Like, what? How? Yeah. What?
I thought for a second, like, which animal is jumping in the lava right now? And I rewound it. I was like, it's a crab. Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense. and then they get the breeze dome from Callum. With a nice rune, nice spell, cools everyone down so that they can sleep for a few hours, which is nice. But no, Callum needs to talk.
Uh-huh.
Raylan moment, but it's not really a Raylan moment because Callum just wants Rayla to promise that she will kill him if he turns evil.
Uh-huh. And gets used as a puppet again.
Yeah.
But first, in the priestdom, when Rayla said, oh, now I'm cold,
mm-hmm.
I thought he's going to help her with his scarf or whatever, you know?
I didn't think he would. It was a kind of, she was asking for it, though. Huh?
Yeah,
totally. I need some cuddle time. Come and warm me up. Yeah, so this moment with the promise reminds me of, have you read the Avatar comics?
Not sure. No, I don't think so.
One of them's called The Promise.
Uh-huh.
And so if you haven't seen Avatar and you're planning to, and you haven't read the comics, maybe just put your fingers in your ears for a few seconds. In The Promise, basically, Zuko asks Aang to do the same.
Mm. Okay.
And says, if I turn bad.
Yeah. Kill me.
Kill me.
Okay. I see.
And the comic is on the same topic, so it's come up again in the... Yeah. And we know it's made by the same people. Interesting idea anyway. And I understand for Callum, he must have been very scared. Like, he was very scared from being taken over by Aravos. Like, who wouldn't be?
Totally.
And I can see how that could be kind of a safety net for him. To know, like, okay, I'd rather die than go down that path.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty dark. But yeah, Rayla just boops his honks his nose, tells him he's a dum-dum.
Yeah. But also he's a little bit, you can see that he's troubled because he first talks to Ezrin about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then now takes his courage to talk to Rayla about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it really... it's in his mind.
Yeah, it's really eating him up.
Yeah.
So Rayla goes back and he kind of wants to throw the cube into the lava, like Mount Doom, Lord of the Rings moment. Gollum,
Frodo, yeah, totally.
But he doesn't look like he's possessed by the cube in the way that Gollum is, or Frodo or something. But he's just not ready to let it go.
Yeah.
But it would have been a way of getting rid of it, for sure.
Yeah.
One thing about the room with the lava, when you see real lava, like in volcanoes and stuff, and you see people like scientists and stuff who are that close to lava, they're always wearing these like crazy heat suits and stuff. Mm-hmm.
True.
And then in these animated shows and stuff, they're always like right next to the lava, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, okay. They said it was hot, but they didn't say like how hot and can you actually survive in a cave where there's lava?
Yeah. And, you know, the poisonous gas or something.
Exactly.
True. Yeah.
But it's, yeah, anyway.
It's magic.
It's an interesting setup and I get it. And it's a fun thing, you know. Yeah, the floor is lava. It's a challenge. It's that escape room, you know. I just wondered how realistic it would be.
True. But then also, you know, Nathan said something about the Stones of Peril and stuff. But I just wrote down, well, that was easy to cross the lava land.
It was super easy. You know, have a rest.
Okay, wait a few hours and then walk.
Yeah.
And the first one was also easy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I guess if you didn't know, maybe you would try lots of dangerous ways of getting across the lava. Unless you were lucky enough to arrive at the moment when the bridge was exposed.
Yeah.
So it is quite perilous, like if Nathan hadn't told them.
Yeah, okay, true.
But you're right, it was quite easy for them.
Yeah. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah. Yeah, the worst thing was really the bridge with the crazy, scary monsters.
Yeah.
And then they reach the lair of Rex and Igneous.
Mm-hmm.
Big gate with two dragon statues.
Yeah.
And that's it for our heroes. Sorin and Claudia?
Yeah.
So, why are you wearing pajamas?
And, yeah, I had to look closely because it was pinkish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But was it your screen thing that changed the
color? I think so, yes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But it was also interesting that the first exchange of words or something is, why are you wearing pajamas?
Why are you wearing pajamas, Sorin? Because it saves time and they're super comfy, duh.
Yeah.
So Sorin's always wearing pajamas.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Sleep and awake.
Yeah.
There's some sweaty pajamas.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he has change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, and then Claudia flees from him. And Sorin wants to stop her and wants to ride after her on... what's her name?
Squeaky.
Squeaky. True. And he has no chance. He tries with, come on, please. And then, yip yip, Fragezeichen, question mark.
Yeah.
And it works. So we have another Avatar reference with Aang and Appa.
Mm-hmm.
Or other MNs, Korra also used Yip-Yip, I think.
Did she?
I'm not sure.
With Naga?
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yeah,
but Yip-Yip is definitely Appa's command to go, fly.
Yeah.
And nothing else works. So, yeah, very good nod to Avatar The Last Airbender.
Mm-hmm.
Not the last one in these two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a big chase and so we get the smoke bomb from Claudia and then she does the wings of the dead.
Died it for Snuggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, wings of the dead.
Wings of the dead. Yeah. Ah, okay. Yeah. That's the spell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they have their big chase and Claudia's bag gets caught on a branch and she falls. Sorin leaps to save her and they both fall to the ground.
But it's interesting that he still helps his sister, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't want her to die.
Mm.
He just wants her to be on the good side.
Yeah, and he missed her.
And he missed her, yeah.
And it's interesting because we have a lot of scene changes. So we just talk about one group after another. But first we have Terry and Rurin speaking about Claudia because she's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And Rurin says something about perhaps just she's just enjoying a moonlight stroll and getting a few breaths of air to wind down. And then next scene change, we see Claudia is out of breath because she flees from Thorn.
True, yeah.
So that's really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
So not winding down at all.
Nope.
Yeah.
Claudia wakes up and she's tied up. and complains about it, but most people don't have a sister who can sprout scary bat wings and fly off.
So maybe she should change. And also interesting, he says something about dad is dead, and she's just like, doesn't tell anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, why?
She's not surprised. Doesn't want him to know yet.
Yeah, because they spoke about evil magic and dark magic, and yeah, if she would tell him, okay, hey, dad is alive because of my dark magic.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and then we got the nice cliffhanger at the end. No!
Yeah, true.
We wouldn't have gotten that, maybe.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, she was just waiting, huh?
Yeah.
For somebody to help her.
Yeah. Yeah, just there was also the same bone feelings. What's that about?
So Claudia said that humans suffered for generations and generations, and that you just feel it in your bones. You know suffering because humans had nothing, and that Aravos was the only magical creature that cared about them because he came and gave them magic and pulled them kind of out of the out of this wretched, horrible existence. So she sees Aravos as this, like, savior.
So,
that's the feelings in her bones. And Sarin, that's actually nice to talk about because while they're talking about it, there's this pink butterfly that comes and lands on Sarin's finger and stuff. And it's like this magical creature is being nice to Sarin, you know? And Sarin doesn't have any magic.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, the contrast
of what
she's talking about while that is happening is really nice and very obvious, and he doesn't have the same bone feelings
because he doesn't now, think so
and he's making friends with magical creatures and has a completely different
point of view
and experience
and there he is dead, so, and then there's a no. And then we have Terry and Rurin, the awkward couple.
But it's getting better.
Yeah, it's getting better. Totally. Yeah. So Rurin is getting a little bit more human. Yeah, they speak properly with each other and not be totally silent. Also, but it's also awkward, you know, because they speak about Claudia. And it's weird to talk with the boyfriend and the father.
Yeah.
About a person who's not there.
Who's not there and is the only reason that they are together.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it is very awkward.
Yeah.
But yeah, Terry talks about Viren's wisdom of get a grip. And says,
philosophy.
Yeah. And says that Terry's not going to do it.
Yeah.
And wants to be... He wants to be strong enough to do what's necessary, but have all the feelings. And it's really nice when Terry says, I want to have all the feelings. He really, like, opens up his arms as if to, like, just let it all in, you know? It's really nice.
And Claudia thinking it's weird and wonderful.
Yeah.
And Viren is also saying, you're weird. And then Terry, and? Okay, perhaps wonderful. Yeah, that's really nice.
He's warming up to him.
But it's not enough for a big old hug.
No.
So, still respecting boundaries and, yeah, it's too early maybe.
I like that as well. But maybe we can do the other meaning of get a grip. Let's have a hug. Very clever.
Yeah.
Like, really enjoying the scriptwriters.
Yeah, totally.
This episode.
Yeah. And then they stroll through the forest to search for Claudia. Because she's still not there after in the morning. And Terry is speaking about his village who's hidden in the Uncharted Forest. And it's not on a map because it's Uncharted, obviously. And speaks about his appearance or, you know, his past. So others found him as a doe, like a yeah, not so strong animal or something.
Female deer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And actually, but he's a buck. I'm not sure what this is.
A male deer.
Ah, okay, so strong, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he apparently chose his own name, Terrestrius, mm-hmm. which is a strong name, mm-hmm. according to Rune. So that's really nice.
Yeah, it was a really nice way of dealing with Terry being trans.
What?
Did you not realize?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so yeah, if you don't know the meaning of doe and buck.
Yeah, no, I don't.
So yeah, a doe is a female deer, and a buck is a male deer.
Ah,
okay. So everyone saw Terry as a doe,
yeah,
and treated Terry as a doe, but Terry always knew that he was a buck.
Ah, okay, that's really interesting. So we also have the trans flowers in the beginning. Ah, now it makes sense.
Yeah,
okay.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, that's cool.
And just dealt with in such a nice, subtle kind of way.
Yeah, so I wouldn't recognize it.
But that was a vocabulary issue, I think.
Yeah.
But like, it was just really nice. It was just like, yeah, and this was like this, and now it's like this, and Viren's just like, yeah.
Strong name. Yeah, cool.
Respect.
No. Yeah, super cool. Yeah. And then, with the help of Sir Spucklepuff, they found Claudia's back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of chapter 7.
No, I'm glad I could
yeah,
bring
totally.
You in on that.
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, as usually, the outro and jelly tarts at the end, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, overarching themes of Beneath the Surface and the title. So, the title is Beneath the Surface, which is obviously the path of despair,
mm-hmm.
and the heroes and what they're up to underground, very obvious. But what else is under the surface? Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, like, opens up all the stuff that is underneath Terry's surface, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Maybe also Callum's surface, because of his mind puppet errors stuff.
Yeah, yeah, all the stuff that's bubbling under the surface for Callum as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I have.
And the lava crabs under mm-hmm. the surface. Rex Ignis. I wrote down also the storyline of Riven & Co. And there's none of it.
No.
Yeah. So we have only Team Zim and the Sunfire Camp and people in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luxoria makes more sense.
Like, I don't mind which order we do it in.
Yeah, Sunfire is because it's... Or Luxoria because it's shorter, maybe?
Okay, yeah.
So first we... Did we get introduced to them before Aegis and Embertail?
No, we'd met Embertail because Jen and I used Embertail before, but not by name. So
okay.
This is the first proper introduction.
Yeah.
And Aegis is new, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Aegis is Amaya's mount.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I recognize Aegis because I'm using Aegis as a software on my phone for authentication, two-factor authentication. And it also has another meaning because it's a moon.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a moon?
Yeah, a moon of, I can't remember, but... Wait,
one of the planets in our solar system?
No, it's... The outer and bigger of the two moons of the main asteroid Minerva.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's very specific.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's only the German one, the German Wikipedia page, but I can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. And get the software because it's awesome. It's better than Google Authentication or something. Yes. So, interesting name choice, I think.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so so Janai needs to talk to Amaya and wants to do it away from the camp. Ah, and did we already say that Embertail thinks Aegis is cute, but won't admit it.
Yeah, yeah. He did just say it now, but yeah, yeah.
Some nice animal relationship stuff going on there.
True.
So, yeah, they're talking about whether Janai still wants to be queen or mm-hmm. not. And Janai just knows that she wants to marry Amaya.
Mm-hmm.
Amaya asks if she wants to be queen. And Janai says not at first, but now, yes, absolutely.
Mm.
And not just she wants to be queen, but she wants to be queen of her people. It's like she really has this need to help the people and lead the people.
But Amaya's question what life do you want?
Yeah.
You know, and then
yeah,
she thought about it. Because she was uncertain, afraid, and wants to leave, essentially.
Yeah.
Let's just go. And yeah. But yeah, then live with you and be a queen.
Mm-hmm.
So why not both?
Yeah. Two cakes?
Two cakes. Have two cakes. Yeah.
I love this thing with the two cakes.
You cannot have your cake and eat it too. It's a saying in Lok's area.
Yeah.
And then, just have two cakes. Duh.
And Janai is confused. Two cakes? Two cakes? And then Amaya kisses Janai twice.
Yeah,
once. True. And again, two cakes. And they have a nice giggle.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really romantic. The romantic picnic without a cake.
And nice that Amaya talks about it in terms of baked goods. I mean, we know Amaya is into baked goods and baking, so makes sense. Okay, and back to Karim and Mianna. Mianna's talked to the other Horns and they're not up for moving against Janai. And I think in this scene we see like trans flower colours kind of.
No, it's too it's blue too dark.
Yeah,
but it was an interesting flower. I couldn't make sense of it, but mm-hmm. yeah, it was you know,
it was very purposefully put there
and also in your face, like
yeah,
but not sure what it means.
Yeah,
actually, and he wants to plot something against his sister and tells Mianna of the War of Blood and Age. And it's really dark.
I have the description of that from the wiki. Sure. Shall I just read it out?
Yeah, okay.
So the War of Blood and Ash, the former king of Luxoria went mad and ruled his city as a tyrant. To stop him in his tracks, his brother, the first Golden Knight of Luxoria, led his armies to dethrone the king, leading to a great civil war. As their armies clashed, Luxoria drowned in both death and fire, with ash blackening the sky and the sun shining in a blood-red shade. When war led to nothing but chaos and suffering, the Golden Knight instead decided to abandon his war and to issue his brother a challenge instead, a duel to the death. As the victor would rule Luxoria and the knight reigned victorious over his brother, he replaced the tyrant as the new Sunfire King. With this victory, all war ceased.
Yeah, pretty intense. Yeah, then he says something about he wants to challenge Amaya to a duel in the morning, and hopes that she is still, you know, he wants a way out and refuses the challenge, and he can be king
mm-hmm.
and change the course of history. But now we know something is going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Have two cakes and stuff, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not working out, I guess.
Yeah, and Karim says he knows Janai better than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But does he?
Yeah.
Apparently
not.
So I have to tell you, I found an Easter egg in this scene.
Mm-hmm. In the room with the flowers?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I was very excited about. Karim is wearing a ring on his left... tiger finger, pointing finger.
Yeah, okay.
And I was looking at it and I was like, that's really familiar. So I like had a closer look and it is it's from the Dragon Prince logo.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the O of dragon.
Mm-hmm.
This wing
mm-hmm.
in the egg.
Wow.
And it's exactly that as a ring. So they definitely did it on purpose. Just as a is a funny, quirky thing to do, I guess. But yeah. I found it funny.
Nice catch. Yeah. Wow.
Definitely an Easter egg. Quite literally an egg on the ring. Yeah.
So also fresh off the press.
Yeah, from News from the Breach. That's not in the wiki either.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. Okay, so then we can jump to Team Zim.
Team Zim.
First, they used the moon opal to change Sim to dog, because Sim should stay at home because Rex Ignis and Simstead were virals, and if there is now a Sim appearing on the scene, maybe that's not the best entrance for them. So yeah, they changes him into a dog, and he is also able to bark without the saps.
Yeah.
And then Nathan also repeats his thing about you should bring gifts, and everyone is like, still no gifts? What
gifts? What?
yeah.
And just at the beginning of the scene, there was... So how it comes out that Zim has some information that he's been withholding is that he's looking at these stone friezes, they're called, of... Like, there's one of Rex just burning stuff.
Of course.
There's one of Rex standing, receiving gifts.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, it is scary. Receiving gifts in my notes I have from small squishable creatures.
Yeah. There's also a line of these squishable
with
creatures.
Different, holding up different exactly. things.
And then there's a huge arch dragon. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're looking for the dragon.
Yeah.
There's lots of treasure around. Big red glowy rocks lining the kind of the path to the to the hot springs at the back.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Rayla just is just off up the mountain by herself, up the springs, looking for the dragon.
And through a tiny rock into the, what do you call it?
The springs, pit. The hot pools.
Yeah, hot pools. The bathing dragon wakes up and, climbs out of the pool. And he's big as fuck.
He's massive, and he's very, like, he's brown and black and gold. I was wondering if the gold is, like, painted gold from all of his gold, or if he's actually that colour.
No.
Like, I wonder if he's vain enough to have, like, painted himself with his treasure.
Or it's just, the golden compass, the bear, with his armour.
Yurik.
Yeah.
Yurik.
Yeah.
Bernison.
You know? Yeah. You know what I mean? So Rex Ignis forged his own armor and just wears it on his head.
Interesting.
Yeah, not true.
Yeah, it's interesting. But you wouldn't use gold as armor plating though, because it's soft. It wouldn't protect.
Then it's good for your head.
But maybe it's just a coating on some like harder metal
armor
or something. Interesting. Yeah. I wrote that the dragon lair is very dragony. So Rex Ignis comes out. Wise and powerful arch dragon of earth, O master of boulders great and pebbles small, O shaker of soils and grower of grass.
titles.
And Rex Ignis just comes closer and closer to Nathan. And it's just like nose to nose with Nathan, and you see how tiny he is.
And doesn't speak at all, you know? Like, nothing yet. And, obviously they should have brought gifts, and they just imagine something out of the stuff they wear. First, Rayla is giving him her blades.
Her butterfly blades.
Yeah. Callum gives him his staff, and Ezran gives him his crown. So really big offerings. And now he talks and he's just bored and says two knives, a stick and a hat. And also you know, kicks the crown away, the hat. So, yeah, he's super bored.
He's not impressed.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, just to go back to Ezrin's crown shortly, I think this is the first time we know that his crown's made from his father's sword.
Could be, yeah.
And there is a short story on the Dragon Prince website, the official, about that. And about that, how that happens.
Ah, okay.
Because...
About the forging, you mean, or...?
Yeah, because the crown is gone. Because Viren was wearing it when Viren died, in quote marks.
Yeah.
So there is no crown. And then that's the solution. He was given his father's sword to wear. And he's like, I don't want to wear a sword. Like, I'm not a fighting king, you know? So... That was the decision to use that.
Interesting. Really interesting. Crown. Yeah, that's cool.
We can put a link in the in the show notes to that. And Callum offers the staff. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
totally.
He's, you know, he can just do magic just like that. Oh, and it's giving away a lot for him. Although he can just do it, huh? Without the staff, if he connects to
but it's more powerful.
Primal. But it makes it easier for sure. Yeah, very emotional gifts. And it's actually quite fitting because they said, I think when Nathan said it originally, it was supposed to be a sacrificial gift. And that was a sacrifice for them.
Yeah,
it was things that really meant a lot to them. But then, coming back and being like, okay, skipping ahead a little bit, but... You know, we gave you some stuff that meant a lot to us, but maybe we should give you something that means a lot to you, you know?
Yeah.
After he'd threatened to chase them and kill them and, you know. Do you want the tart? And then he's, like, being mean about it. And Ezra's like, well, if you don't want to have the tart... No, no! He does want to have the tart because apparently dragons have a really sweet tooth.
Yeah. Also,
Zabea.
Zabea, true.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just a Zabea and Rex thing.
Who knows? That's why they were rivals.
Yeah.
Krass, interesting.
And we get a description of the brown sludge tart. It's creamy but bitter, flaky but firm, sweet with just the slightest hint of salt. This is delicious. In all my centuries, I've never tasted anything like this.
That's really cool.
So Barius is getting all the compliments from the dragons. Barius is like the top baker in the world for centuries for the dragons.
Yeah. And then I'm also wondering, what is Rex Ignis eating normally?
People.
But he had no visitors in ages. So,
well, that's what we think.
Jewels. He's eating jewels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fish in his from his springs. The crabs.
The crabs. The anglerfish creatures. Yeah. Okay. I see. And then there's also interesting. We have a closer look at the treasures, and we see two Avatar references: Aang's Glider and Sokka's Boomerang. And I saw something else. Like, there's also, I think, the first staff of the human who got the dark magic. And I think there's also an important sword and some other amulets and trinkets and pearls and whatever. I also thought there is the thing of Aladdin, you know, the djinn thing. No, genie.
The lamp.
Yeah, the lamp. And we spoke in the last episode about a rune on an amulet or something. I think it's there.
The rune that was on the dragon scale necklace that Claudia
No,
took.
The necklace is there. Or another necklace. In this kind of...
The same style.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So there was a lot of important stuff.
Yeah.
I think also, you know, from other fandoms and
other things that we don't know, probably. Exactly. I thought the same when it panned across different things and it was like legendary stuff, you know? It was we got the Avatar references, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that we don't know.
Yeah.
The staff of the first mage is the staff that Claudia has, though. That Viren has. Okay. But another staff,
There's a wooden staff. It's like a little bit like Gandalf.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. Yeah, maybe it'll come up in the future. Like, we'll find out some more stuff about that.
And, we have another random moment.
Yes.
Because when he's eating the delicious brown sludge tart, Callum touches Rayla.
Hmm.
Long.
Okay.
Longly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lingering.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then we have Sim fights for his father because, Rex Ignis is saying evil stuff about his father.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's getting angry and angrier and tries to bite him or attack him, zap him, whatever.
Yeah, he bites his wing or arm wing. Yeah. Thing, yeah.
But Rex Ignis is too massive and just shakes him off.
Mm-hmm.
And he returns to his original state. And what? You deceive me?
Mm-hmm. Rex is very angry.
Yeah.
And then goes off on this whole, Avizandum is too cowardly to face him. Blah, 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 blah. No, he's dead.
Yeah.
Murdered by a dark mage, and his daughter wants to free Aragorn from his magical prison.
Before they were rivals, he was friend.
Mm-hmm.
They were friends. And Ezran also looks like the human who found out Aragorn's scheme.
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up. It's the Orphan Queen.
Mm.
There's only two references yet in chapter 4. And through the Looking Glass,
there's that a image. Reference. Yeah, there was that image when Zubair was telling the history. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now, again, shortly.
Yeah.
So, the wiki also doesn't know anything yet. But maybe there's more to come.
Yeah.
I think there's more to come.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's just the start. So, Rex is more open to it now.
Yeah.
Because he knows what's happened to Avizandum.
Yeah.
And that he sees that Ezran is like this other human, like the Orphan Queen.
Yeah.
He has a riddle. He doesn't know, but he possesses the knowledge of where the prison is. And of course, Claudia arrives just in that moment when they finally get that he has a map and does a spell, Umbra Corum.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of shadow Claudias appear, and they use their ocarinas of sleep.
Ocarina of time sleeps,
And it works on everyone but Zim.
Yeah, but also Rex Ignis. He also fell asleep. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm.
But Zim was definitely not affected.
Or later?
We didn't see Zim fall asleep.
Yeah.
And that was the end.
That's
of
the end.
The chapter.
Wow.
Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff, really. Yeah.
So, chapter 8. I've got... Let's talk about the title. Rex Ignis, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
No need to talk about that, really.
No.
Overarching themes. I have baked goods. Two cakes.
And brown sludge tart.
Yeah, exactly. And what does one truly desire? A cave full of treasures or something new and delicious?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So that's what I have about that. So we could go on to the jelly tarts.
Yeah. So the first, in the first chapter, I have just lighten up and enjoy the darkness. I dropped my moon opal. It's maybe a response to this teasing.
Yeah.
You know? Not sure.
I've got from the first chapter as well. I've always said if there's anywhere I could go and get lost forever and starve to death, this should be it.
Yeah. And I have also, what if I'm on the path of darkness? Then take a different path, dummy.
Yeah. And I've got, I didn't know you could control plants. Nah, it's not like that. I have a very good relationship with plants. If I need something, I can depend on them.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that was a really nice moment as well with Terry and Claudia. Like, yeah, she's like, yeah, he's controlling it, you know, because she's like all power hungry. But Terry's like, no, we've got a thing going on.
And also the reconnection between them is just, oh, hi, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, baby. And Claudia just grabs Terry's arm and just wraps it around her shoulder.
I also have Avados, Avaroni, Avarados, Embanos?
Very
good. No, Avaros.
Yeah. And I've got, well, sorry, the end of the world didn't fit into your busy schedule. Yeah. But I think our funniest character award goes to Nathan for these two chapters.
For the grass thing?
For everything.
Ah, okay.
Nathan says a lot of funny things.
Yeah. And the Rex Ignis, you know, what you just said.
Yeah. And the getting lost forever and starving to death.
Yeah.
Nathan is our comedy.
Soren.
Our comedian of the hour.
No, it's Team Sims Soren.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Soren Jr.
Soren Jr. It's the new Soren because they've lost him.
Yeah.
Should we go through the credits?
Yeah. I have nothing left, I think.
So, the credits from chapter 7. Rayla and Ezrin doing cartwheels.
Yeah. Then I have Amulet with the 3 stones. And I have 3 question marks because I couldn't figure out what this was.
I kind of read a bit of a spoiler about it, so I'm not going to say it, but it is very significant.
Okay. So, in the next chapter. Yeah. Or next chapters.
And it's
okay.
A diadem.
Half
crown thing.
Okay.
Soren posing in PJs and a sword in the air.
Heroic pose.
Very heroic.
Yeah. Stella and Bade with a lot of treasure around them and on them. And I noticed the Bade's tail has a tiny ring and emits some, you know, like stars or whatever. It's really funny. Really cute. But Stella has more.
Stella has more.
Way more.
And Stella has more limbs as well.
Yeah,
more
true.
Places to put them.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
The jewelry. Then we have another Easter, a kind of Easter egg. The earthen creatures from the darkness wearing sunglasses, or just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at it, I was like, I know this face and these sunglasses. And I thought, in my head, I was like, Blues Brothers. But I don't think I've ever seen Blues Brothers. It's just like a thing, you know, everyone knows about Blues Brothers from like popular culture or whatever. But do you know about Blues Brothers?
Not sure about it.
Or like not.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like subconsciously or something. And I looked up Blues Brothers then, and the glasses are one-to-one the same. So it's a film from the 1980s, and I'm really sure that my stepdad was really into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that we watched it when I was small, but like it's so long ago that I can't remember. So I was looking up everything about it, and I was looking for like popular quotes and stuff because I was like, there's got to be something like to do with these creatures. Like it can't just be like, okay, let's put some Blues Brothers sunglasses just for fun. Mm. And there is a very famous quote. The famous quote is, "It's 106 miles to Chicago. We have a full tank of gas. Half a packet of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses."
Ah, now I know it. Yeah, totally. That's cool.
So I was very proud of myself for
that's really cool.
All of these things. Yeah.
But it could also mean, that it just got into my mind, Men in Black.
The sap
thing.
Yeah.
And you have the sunglasses to protect yourself from the sap thing.
It's true. But it is exactly the sunglasses.
Okay,
like, it's the same model and everything.
Okay.
But I had the same thought.
Yeah.
I had the same thought.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we have the tuning crystals in their full appearance.
Yeah, with little
yeah, musical notes, yeah, notes. Musical yeah. notes, yeah.
Okay, and for chapter 8, we've got a Maya in a chef's hat with two cakes.
Really cool, yeah. yeah. We have Rex Ignis with party hat, lizard in a hat.
We have the Ocarina of Sleep.
Mm-hmm. Two knives to stick in a hat.
The scroll with blood and ash, Karim's challenge for the duel to the death.
And Aegis and Emmertale, head on head, lying next to each other.
Snuggling!
Yeah.
yeah.
Really cute.
Really, really cute. Okay.
We have a special thing. Okay, has a special thing.
Yeah, so we were talking in the last chapter about Claudia and her identity, and that she's changed a lot, and you see it in how she's looking, her hair and everything. And we were wondering if she like notices, you know, like that if she realizes that she's changing a lot. And there is a short story which I read last week that's on the Dragon Prince website, and it's called Lost Child. It came out in May, but I only just saw it. And it's all about Claudia. It's all about that topic, basically. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, you should definitely read it. Yeah, she sees her reflection in the water, and she sees how different she looks and stuff. And the interesting thing, because we've talked about the butterflies, Viren's butterflies as well, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Claudia doesn't have her butterflies. But during this, she is introduced to her version of the butterfly, basically. Makes her, not pretty again, but makes her look like she used to look.
Yeah. Interesting.
And we also were discussing the homunculus, Sir Sparklepuff, mm-hmm. and how Claudia was kind of nurturing Sir Sparklepuff in this cocoon, you know, that whole time, and they spent a lot of time together. And if they have like a connection because of that. And also in this story, the homunculus is like copying Claudia's every move and kind of mirroring every move, kind of like we see Ezrin and Zim
mm-hmm.
mirroring each other in their sleep and stuff. So yeah, it's not quite the same because they're awake and the homunculus is doing it, is actually copying
mm-hmm.
And stuff, but there's definitely something between them as well. Like, and she also sees kind of the homunculus like a child a bit. But it's a very interesting story, and she's going through all these emotions with being abandoned by her mother and all this stuff. Anyway, if you want to know more about Claudia, read it. I kind of thought we could both read it and talk about it, but we've also run out of time. We're already over time.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It touches on things we've talked about already
uh-huh.
and confirms the thoughts we've had.
Okay. So
it's cool.
Yeah, we will put it in the show notes, the link to the story.
I also put his thoughts from the last episode was that Karim is the new Caleb, and I have the comment in my notes, go eat some broccoli, Karim. And we also asked in the last episode what the next book name was going to be, mm-hmm. and it's going to be Ocean.
Oh, okay.
And we could have looked this up, but actually the Dragon Prince now surprise released the
yeah.
season 5 of yeah. the Dragon Prince a few days early.
Yeah.
So yeah, we know.
So it's out now since 2 days?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or well, 3 days, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's out. I want to watch it.
You didn't watch it yet?
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. I've not had time.
Okay.
But I am gonna watch it.
Yeah, for me, first I'm watching now the season book finale
mm-hmm.
of book 4. So yeah, really excited about that.
Exciting times.
Yeah.
So we should watch that finale, record our next episode, and then get on with the new season.
Yeah, totally.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Also, they have a Discord server now. You can join it officially now. And we also put it in the show notes.
Great.
A lot of stuff around Dragon Prince.
So, we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
All right. Nice. Thanks for listening. We've been News from the Breach and look forward to recording another episode very soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.